Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from anywhere in the world you may be listening. This is the Jamie Dawn Show, and it happens to be Monday, September 16th of 2024. I'm timestamping it because not all my shows are live. I've had to do a few replays because of my schedule getting a little crazy with Nine Gates Mystery School and life, and I bet you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. But welcome. I'm excited to be live with you today. And we have a lot to talk about. And I want to share a lot of things with you. But before I jump in, let's just take a moment to welcome ourselves here fully for the next hour. Just become fully present, nowhere to go, nothing to do, forever long that you can be here, even if it's just for this breath. Thank you. Show up for yourself. Let's just come back to this present moment. Drop into that heart space. And with one breath in through the heart and out through the heart, we're here. And a few announcements. First of all, I am an advisor over at One to Listen. And when I have some availability, I love being able to sign on and be there for you. If for some reason you don't see me available, please request a call back, a chat back, or schedule some time. I do want to be able to connect with you guys. And all the other wonderful advisors are there for you to support you. And I have a feeling since tonight into tomorrow, it'll actually be tomorrow late afternoon, early evening, that we have an exactitude of the full moon, I have a feeling we'll probably have a sale going on. So you'll be able to get notifications like that if you sign up on the page, on the One to Listen page for promotions, and then you get emails and beautiful postcards that Mark makes that gives you all of the things that are happening in the One to world. And if this is your first time listening and you want to join me in the chat room on Facebook, then you can go to the One to Radio page and you'll see a chat button there. You click on it, and it is a private Facebook page. We do have it monitored because we want to make sure that we keep the crazy out, right? Oh, I don't know. I say crazy is welcome. We don't want anything inappropriate and offensive, you know. This is an all-inclusive place and a safe place for you guys to be able to interact with the radio host and with each other. And so if you click on that button, then Jay, our wonderful producer, thank you as always for the not only the bells and whistles you pull behind the scenes, Jay, but just the energy you bring, because most people don't realize, but one of the roles that someone who is supporting something like producing the show and that sort of thing is that their energy is also feeding the energy field. And I don't want it to go unnoticed that the energy that Jay brings is so grounding and so present and so supportive. So thank you for that. And guess what? That's the energy that we're bringing to each other as we are in community. And community is super, super important. And you'll notice too, the trends, if you will, is that we're getting back into community. And it's because of being able to support one another that we thrive. Survival is very individualistic. But because it's all about me, right? It's like, oh, where am I going to get my next meal? Where am I going to pay my next bill, right? But community is, hey, I'm hurting here. And someone steps in and says, how can I help? And we stay open to receive. And then we give back, you know, pay forward, all those kinds of things. So those are little inklings, if you can tell by what I'm sharing, of some things that this beautiful Sagoma is an African shaman, and John Lockley is an African Sagoma from South Africa, and he taught, this is the first time that anybody in Nine Gates Mystery School, our graduates, had the opportunity to sit with him. And so this was my first time actually my second time in this small intimate setting. There's a total of 30 of us, but which is a good number. And there was a few years ago, that I did go and attend one of his workshops in Santa Fe as we were scoping him out, vetting him out as a possible teacher at Nine Gates Mystery School. And one thing I can tell you is he is the real deal. And what a beautiful, beautiful reminder of so many things and some ahas that I'll share. But I want also part of the intention of my show is for me to, I call myself the nomad crab because I'm a Cancer sun, Cancer is a crab. And I love to travel and explore, not just on my own physically, but also in the cosmos and the ether, some astral traveling and going into the unseen realm and pulling out information for you that's useful. So I want to be able to do that. And then, of course, astrologically is another language that I've embraced as a way of being able to talk about the energies and how they influence us and what's happening to us, and maybe putting a little bit of answers to questions that we have. So I'm going to offer all of that today. Also, if you do go on YouTube, you can follow me. Love for you to subscribe to my channel because that's what will help give it a little boost. But I post a weekly celestial wisdom. I also offer a recording of the radio show there too. So there's lots of ways you can access the radio show, the wisdom of the week, my beautiful assistant Joan, whose birthday happens to be Friday. Shh. Everybody wish Joan happy birthday. She does all my memes and social media posts, so I'm grateful for that, which you should be seeing some memes with the full moon effects by sign. And as I always like to remind people, read not only your sun, but your rising and your moon. I base the horoscopes or the memes off of your rising sign because that gives it the most accurate influence. So that's the one I would say start first with, really, is your rising sign, and then add in your sun and moon to give you an overall picture of how the full or new moons can influence you. Also, I have my light and shadow report out, which is what I'm calling my monthly newsletter that gives you sort of a checkup of what's happening in the month. And we're smack in the middle of September. Go figure. Which, by the way, this week I am going to be decorating for Halloween. I love Halloween. It's my second favorite holiday ever. Christmas happens to be my first. And it's all about the lights, right? But for me, Halloween is the exact opposite, where it's all about the darkness and embracing the two and the shadows and integrating. I love it when the veil is thin. I love being able to be like the wolf's eyes in the dark that shines, and connecting with ancestors. Haha. So love, love, love Halloween. And of course, the trick-or-treating and things like that. My beloved is Candyman every year. He's Willy Wonka. And it's kind of fun to dress up. I finally figured out, speaking of Halloween, and I will reveal it maybe before Halloween. We'll see. You may have to watch social media and I'll post a picture. But I finally figured out my costume. I couldn't figure it out. I like doing something different every year. So finally figured out who I'm going to represent. And hopefully I will do it justice. We'll see. And if not, it'll be fun. Who cares, right? Okay, I'm rambling. Thank you. Thank you for rambling with me, for listening with me. And if you have any comments, questions you want to post in the chat room, I will check them out as soon as I can. And hello to those of you who are in the chat room. Thank you for being here. I love it. Okay, let me start with some overall energies. Hang on, I just got a message and I can't open it. Make sure that I am on track for Skype. Like we use Skype as part of our radio here, and for whatever reason, Skype likes to send me random messages, which can be very distracting. Can you tell? But all right, so here we go. Energies, themes for the week. We are still with Mars in Cancer, as I have mentioned before. Those of you I've talked to, Mars is going to be transiting through Cancer for a couple months, then it's going to move into Leo, and then it's going to retrograde early degrees of Leo back into Cancer, and won't actually leave Cancer until March. So we've got quite a bit of time with Mars in Cancer energy. So I'm going to kind of lace that in. And then, of course, I mentioned this Pisces full moon. It is a partial eclipse, however. As an astrologer, I don't like using more than 8 degrees in the the orb that a planets that planets touch each other or have aspect with each other, that sort of thing. This particular full moon is partial because it's not very close to the lunar node. That's what makes it an eclipse, but we're still going to feel the effects of it. And it's the first setup for the Pisces Virgo eclipses that are going to be happening starting in January, if I did my calculations right. I have to look at, to confirm that, but I believe it's January when they when we start that node shift. And also, we have the fall equinox on Sunday, a week from yesterday. And I always love that because it just, you can really feel that turn of the season, you know? And so I'll talk a little bit about that. But in my Celestial Wisdom video, I like to pull cards, as you guys know, and I pulled the Seven of Swords. And I mentioned in my video, most people, when they see it, they're like, lies, lies, I tell you. And I will say, yes, yes, that's probably true. And I think the big in your face kind of thing is, where are we deceiving ourselves? Where have we been deceiving ourselves? Even if it's us talking negatively, you know, you think about all that negative self-talk we do where you make a mistake. You're like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Are you really? That's a lie. You're not an idiot. You made a mistake, you know, things like that. Now, I will say too, that this particular full moon may have already started to reveal some secrets and some things that needed to come to light, and maybe not. It may still be coming because eclipse energy, we can feel the effects a good month before, a month after. And so I would say pay attention not just to tonight into tomorrow, but the rest of the week, the next couple of weeks, because we have another set, our last set of the Libra Aries eclipses in October. And October 2nd is our new moon in Libra, and then 16th of October is our full moon in Aries. And we will see what continues to get revealed. These next few weeks are going to feel super heightened. I say this to all you empaths out there and super high sensitives. I don't know a better way of saying this. It's going to be intense. So support yourself. Get support. Let yourself roll with it. I feel for me, and this is a big, big thing, is that grounding is always important, but it's going to be even more important. Taking regular time out to calm your parasympathetic nerve, get in nature, is going to be super important. So these are some things that that we need to continue to practice. Giving yourself integration time if you're on the receiving end of some information that's a little unsettling and that you have to react or respond to. There'll be a few people who are going to experience feelings of betrayal, and that's not going to be great. And maybe you're the one supporting that person, you know? So remember, we're not here to take someone's pain from them. We're here to support them through it, because pain means growth. And if they're going through a painful moment, they don't have to do it alone, but we can't take it from them. So those are some things we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves. The other card that came up for me for this full moon is the Death card. And I just find the Death card to be so refreshing, because it means that cycles are ending, patterns are ending, so that something new can begin. In esoteric view, death is the gateway to liberation. So we're letting go of something and we're stepping into something new, which is exactly what this full moon is all about. It's very healing. We're going to be looking at cycles and patterns that no longer serve us, that we can actually say, wait a minute, I know that I am healing from that particular pattern because I'm going to let a bad habit go. I'm going to watch, let's just say I'll use the substance of alcohol as an example, because that's a big thing. You know, it's a real thing for so many people. And one of the things that I've witnessed and even experienced in my past is that if I was working through something emotionally, mentally, that was pretty heavy, that I could use alcohol to soothe, escape, whatever. But of course, as we know, alcohol is a depressant. And so it would bring up a lot of stuff. I mean, it's great if you're grieving and you feel like you need to tap into that grief resource. I mean, there's other ways to do it, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, it can have the benefits there. But my experience and a pact I made with myself years ago is that if I'm working through something pretty heavy, then I avoid any substance, no matter what kind it is. And until I can feel as though I'm in a stable place and in a place that I'm grounded. And I say that because those substances often mask or heighten something and distract from what the real truth of the matter is. And that's what this full moon is about. It's about getting to the truth of things, seeing the truth, especially because the moon is going to be applying to Saturn, and then it's going to be applying to Neptune. And Neptune is the traditional or the modern ruler of Pisces. And it says, let's take off the veil. Let's see things for what they are. That's that Saturn in Pisces. Let's see the truth of these illusions that we've created. As you hear me say all the time, we are the best authors in the world of our telenovelas, right? And we can write some pretty great stories. But what's the truth? Let's get to the meat of it. Spend some time. The other thing about this full moon, it's there's a real invitation for retreat and respite for even just a few minutes, if that's all you can take, and have that carved out time to journal and process. Get by the water. This is a water full moon, water energy. I did promise that I will talk about my some of my ahas and experiences from John Lockley, and I'll circle back to some of the astrological energies that are happening this week. But let me just talk a minute about John Lockley and all that I can share. And because here's the one thing, I'm not going to go into ritual details or ceremony details because those. Number one, if I told you what would happen, and let's say you decide you wanted to go and experience John Lockley for yourself, you would already have a preconceived idea of what the experience should be or could be or whatever, and it could taint or color your experience. And so I certainly wouldn't want to do that. And so a couple of reminders. And I know some of you listening, at least one in particular, give my shout out to my girl Jenny, has worked with John. So you're a little familiar with where I'm going with this. But his basis, especially in his tradition that he's been trained in for over 25 years as a Sagoma, is it's all about nature. It's all about Ubuntu or giving back to humanity and community and also connecting with our ancestors. And tracking our dreams, letting our dreams be our guides when it comes to information, when it comes to making decisions. He said he had what was called a white dream. So they work with different colors. They work with black, red, and white colors for different meanings around the energy. So the white dreams are from Great Spirit, and the black dreams are ego, and the red dreams are healing. And so he had a white dream about coming and being part of our group. And so that was his sign that yes, this is the place for us to be. And so he's all about that. The thing about the ancestors, so he fiercely protects it, he sets it up, he opens it. It is a portal. You can sense it, you can feel it for an ancestor shrine. That's one of the things that he would set up, and we would have experience of opening the shrine and closing the shrine and giving great thanks and prayers to our ancestors, calling upon our ancestors. And one of the things he emphasizes, which this was my aha, and I was like, oh my gosh, when we think of ancestors, for me, I would try and go back as far as I possibly could. Great grandma, great grandpa, great great grandpa and grandma, all that sort of thing into my ancestors. My parents did this thing. It was actually my dad and my cousin. She got very passionate about tracing our ancestors, right? And my maiden name, my birth name is Paxton. And so they traced the Paxtons all the way back to the Hatfields and McCoys and back into Europe and all that sort of thing. And Where have we migrated and colonized and all that sort of stuff throughout the years? Well, anyways, I don't know those ancestors, obviously, but I'm like, okay, I'll call upon the ancestors that I know of. Well, John, one of the things he said, he goes, it doesn't matter whether your ancestors were present, if they were good or not, if they, whatever it was, they give you life. You're here because two people got together and decided you had life. Your soul said, yes, I'm going to incarnate and I'm going to do it through the vehicle of this woman I call mother. And you had to have father help and, contribute. Anyways, and there's quite a few people who have been traumatized and had terrible experiences with family and ancestors. And John's response was, go back 10,000 years. Go back thousands of years to your ancestors. Not everybody was in that pattern. Not everybody in your ancestral line was awful. So go as far back as you have to. Go as far, access the ancestors that do offer healing, that are good. Even if you don't know their names, there are some in your lineage that have goodness all about them. And I was just like, I don't know why, but I didn't think about that. You only think about your immediate line. And if you're like me, you kind of roll your eyes. You're like, okay, they're decent, but man, they projected some shit onto me, Anyways, I thought that was a really good point. The other thing that John brought out and emphasized was the shadow. We did some ritual using the herb mugwort. And those of you witches out there, you know how powerful mugwort is. And we did some ritual around that. And in the ritual, it's going to bring out some shadow. And it was interesting to see the little triggers for me that would come up. Now, in my line of work, and because I've been doing the intuitive work for 25, 30 years, I mean, I could say I've done it all my life, but as far as like professionally, it's been over 25 years now. I can feel, hear, see energy regardless of obstacles physical solid things, whatever, because everything is energy. I'm just reading it. And if it's a solid object, then it shows up a little differently than if I'm reading an etheric object, So I share that because a week from yesterday, you guys know, if you follow me at all, I'm a Niner fan, 49ers. Yes, we sucked yesterday. It was a very disappointing day for my team anyways, but anybody else who might be following your team, if you lost yesterday, I'm sorry about that in football. But anyways, if the Niners were playing on Monday Night Football. And so I put on my 49ers garb, which includes a hat, a baseball cap that I like. And so I wore this hat, and as we circled up at the very beginning of a session, the executive director comes over to me and says, John wants you to take your hat off so that you can have your crown open and receive the energies. Yeah, that triggered me. You know why? Because my little rebellion gene in me was like, he doesn't know me. I can still receive energies whether my crown is covered or not. And how is that any different than taking my prayer shawl, which I had, and putting it over my head? That's okay, but my hat's not. Anyways, yeah, that was the dialogue going on in my head. And there was a really big FU that was coming out of my mouth internally, let's say. However, I quickly calmed myself and gathered up and put on a perspective and basically was like, okay, Jamie, really? It's a hat. And this is honoring of his ritual. This is his ceremony. And he is the teacher. And I need to, it wasn't about submitting, if you will, to the authority or the teacher itself. It was about doing what I felt was right for the energetic field, the community. And so I set aside my attitude, and I promise it didn't take very long. My temper tantrums don't take as long as they used to. And I fully admit I have them, okay? And I left my hat off and enjoyed the the ceremonies and whatever was there. But yeah, that was my shadow that showed up, was those moments, because I grew up in a home where I was told what to do 90% of the time. It was very difficult to challenge, question, to think on my own, that sort of thing, at least publicly. And so to be faced with that in a setting like this, it actually was very healing. And I think that's the thing, is that it's a healing, it was a healing moment for me as well, because I reminded myself, I have a choice. I can choose how I want to respond to this. I can choose to walk out of the session and not be in it. Nobody was keeping me there, not locked into it. Now, would it have triggered some things? Absolutely. But anyways, I made a choice. And so that was another really good moment. Some of the other things that John pointed out was how powerful, as I mentioned, the dream state is, and how all these signs and messages come through. And I can tell you that I dream, I know I dream every night, everybody does, but I remember my dreams almost every night. And very rarely do I wake up without remembering at least one dream that I've had. And tracking and paying attention to dreams has always been a thing for me, but to really receive the information and understand how spirit is trying to work with me, it does take practice for me. And so it was a really powerful energy field to be reminded of that as well. So yeah, I would say if anybody has a chance to check out John Lockley and you want to sit in one of his, he does almost everything online. A few of the graduates had healing sessions with him afterwards, and I don't know what those were like for them, but I didn't stay. I took the opportunity to come back home and be with you guys to do my work and love on you guys. So, so yeah, if you have time though, I will tell you. And this is not me pushing anything in particular on anyone, but if you are looking for or exploring someone that is of the African tradition who any of what I've shared resonates, check out John because he is the real deal. And he currently resides in Canada, so his time zone, I believe, is easier access for a lot of us here in the US. So. All right, so that was my experience. If something else drops in, I'll be happy to share it. I'm going to pivot now back to the energies for the week because this is also right in our faces. And yeah, life is tossing and tumbling, and there's some really sweet things. Oh, you know what? That just reminds me of one other thing that John reminded me of. And again, it's so obvious, but sometimes you just need the external validation, right? You need somebody to go, hey, by the way, remember this? And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, he's all about nature and being close to nature and allowing nature to coexist with us and giving back to it. And he's very anti-consumer mindset. So, but one of the things he pointed out was how if you're going to work in nature, you can't force nature to get to a certain stage or evolution or place of growth by forcing it. You just can't force it. And if you notice that if you just leave nature be, it does its own thing, and that you work with it to coexist with it. And I thought about that. It just kind of threw it in my face. I was like, I talk about how we're in relationship with something, with all things, right? Well, relationships themselves, it's always a big topic for many people I talk with, and I have relationships that are important to me, and relationships are nature. There is a that is life flowing through this energy field called relationship. And very often, those of us who really enjoy relationships and we want to be in them and all that, we often go, okay, we've been dating for so long, therefore we should be at this stage. Well, every plant grows differently, right? Every tree grows differently. Every species is different. There is, and so it reminded me to let go of expectations Because I have an expectation for myself as I'm, navigating my own relationships and things like that. So anyways, it was just a good reminder to say, relax, let go, let things just be. And I always have a choice. I do. That's my mantra. I always have a choice. The other thing, I mentioned about Mars being in Cancer. Mars in Cancer has a super heightened focus, so we're motivated to feel about where we belong, And relationships helps us to feel as though we belong. And if the relationship feels stagnant, or it feels like it's suffocating or exhausting us, or we just don't know where we fit in that person's life or that community's life or whatever, then it's going to create a lot of consternation for us, a lot of worry. And it creates stress that actually does turn into disease. This is why community is so important, belonging to a group or a family of like-hearted people, people that have our best interests at hearts, that we can mix things up a little bit, that we can have healthy conflicts and we can still love each other, not abandon each other. That's why it's really important to know where do we belong. And Mars in Cancer really emphasizes that. And how do we actually belong? Very often we think that we don't have to contribute or do anything, that people should just accept us. They should just value us. They should just do this for us. Guess what? That's not the way humans are programmed. Yeah, you're going to have moments where you have the people who give and always think of other people and things like that, but it doesn't happen on a consistent basis. It is a give and take. It's reciprocity, and it's also being able to insert ourselves into a particular energy field that we resonate with, and to say, this is how I'm contributing, this is how I'm giving. That was something else that John had mentioned, which I think is fascinating. At the very beginning, he said, our ancestors are there to give, or for us to give to them. We call upon the ancestors to give to them, just like when we do a ceremony or practice or ritual or whatever, what can we give to that practice, or what can we give to that ceremony? What can we give to somebody or something, right? And I find it fascinating because one of my other African teachers, who crossed over a few years ago, Zabamfu Sommé, she used to always say the ancestors would sit there just kind of twiddling their thumbs, going, do, 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 do. I really hope that this person will ask me for their help. Hello. And so she would always say, and she was from a different tribe up in the western part of Africa, but she would say the ancestors are just waiting for us to call upon them and demand them to come and work on our behalf. So it was an interesting juxtaposition between John's perspective and then Zabamfu and what she used to teach. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, isn't that the same? If I'm giving to my ancestors, if I'm saying, how can I contribute to my ancestors? If I'm doing my work and I'm helping to heal karmic patterns and I'm helping to, and I'm calling upon them and honoring them and saying, thank you for giving life and thank you for the gifts that I have and all of that, I'm contributing. And then they are responding and working on my behalf as well, right? And so there's that reciprocity. And this is another emphasis for this full moon that's happening this week, is that when we talk about the healing, our healing contributes to the next generations. Oh, one other, I love this as I'm processing it with you guys. I made some notes, but this is truly in the moment with you, is that John also said, you can call upon your ancestors of future generations. Huh, think about that one. So I can actually call upon my children and grandchildren and their children and whoever's going to come after us and say, yeah, I'm going to do my work so that my family doesn't have to experience some of the old, outdated, wrong, traumatic patterns that my previous family did. Right? So what do I need to do to let go of? What do I need to do to let go of the things that are not in alignment with my values and are not bringing out the best in me? That's, to me, the two questions to ask. What are the things that are not making me the best version of myself that I'm doing? I'm choosing it. What can I change there? Is it negative self-talk? Is it eating the wrong things? Is it drinking the wrong thing? Is it being with the wrong group? Is it complaining? Negative self-talk? All those things. What are some things that I'm doing that I sabotage myself on a regular basis, or I compromise my value? Maybe I'm spending money on things that I don't need to be spending money on. I'm so worried I'm not going to be able to pay a bill, and yet here I am on Amazon. You know? So, yeah. Where can I change some patterns and habits? These are the things we're going to be thinking about. The other thing with the underlying energy of Mars in Cancer is that it's going to create situations that test how secure we feel in our relationships, how secure we feel in ourselves. How much do we actually trust in ourselves? How much do we trust in the relationships? I was in a session this morning and with a new client, and we were coaching around her wanting to get promoted into a C-suite. And we started talking about some of the different qualities of what a C-suite leader embodies. And one of the things that I mentioned is the word discipline. Now, I'm a Capricorn rising, so all of you Capricorn risings out there, you can relate. We're ruled by the planet Saturn. And Saturn is the disciplinarian, the taskmaster, the tester, the one that says, you can come through this gate, but you must answer this question first. You must show that you have gone down that path and you have passed all these tests to get here in this moment before you can get to the treasure. The reason I bring that up is discipline often has a foreboding kind of energy to it. Most people go, oh, militant, boring, rigid, all that. And yeah, that is the shadow side of discipline. If we become so rigid and fixed that we can't, that we get bent out of shape when something, a curveball shows up, or we're not willing to see another person's perspective and we shut them out or judge them wrongly or whatever. But discipline, if it's done correctly and with a certain element of ease, it actually builds trust. If I'm so disciplined in my schedule, if I'm so disciplined with the food I eat or the exercise I do or whatever it might be, if I'm disciplined to speak truth on a regular basis, what does that do for another? Well, one, it builds trust in myself. I can trust that I'm going to make good decisions because I have that discipline in my life. I'm going to trust that I will show up for myself. And then also, I can trust, another person can trust, oh yeah, Jamie's going to be, I don't know, at the gym at this time, or Jamie's going to be in a healthy mindset for because she doesn't give up going to the gym and eating healthy and blah, 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 right? Or it might be Jamie's disciplined enough to learn this skill and to practice it over and over and over again. And that I know that if I'm going to talk with Jamie, I'm going to feel grounded because Jamie practices grounding as if there's no tomorrow. And Jamie's practicing self-forgiveness on a regular basis. So that means that when I sit with her, I'm not going to feel judged. Yeah. I'm going to feel that open-hearted presence. Those are the kind of things that discipline can bring to us. And so I bring that up to say, this is a beautiful time with Mars in Cancer to invoke some discipline into our lives so that we can strengthen and build the security and trust of our relationships. And if we are doing the evaluation at this full moon of habits and things like that that are no longer serving us, and we put the discipline in place to make sure that we're not going to fall back into those old patterns, then we can trust ourselves and other people can trust us too. Because words are fallow. You know that. So many people can say, yeah, I'm not going to do that ever again. Really? Just did it 5 more times. How do I don't trust you. You don't have the discipline to say, to actually do the actions that you say you're going to do. You know, this is part of cutting through the illusion, getting to the truth of the matter. I know it's not easy. I get that. But that's what we're here to do. So the other thing is that we have an opportunity. There's a little bit of this faded kind of feeling going on right now, where we might meet somebody that feels like a faded meeting, or we have a conversation with someone that it's like, oh, they just unlocked and opened a door for me that took me on a whole nother path that I didn't even see or I hadn't even considered. And now look at where I'm going. It just feels like fate has taken me there. The one other thing about the eclipses is that often things can show up suddenly and out of the blue, very unexpected. And that's the scary part of that is, especially for those of us who have that control gene, like I have, it can throw us off kilter and go, wait a minute, I didn't plan for that. I don't have, what if I don't have the resources? What if I fail miserably? What if blah, 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 blah. So we're not prepared, That's where that control comes from. So I got to be prepared for everything. Yeah, sure. But that's where practices come in. And you can't really, say how you're going to meet it until you're there. I'll put a pin on the map this weekend. My daughter and I are going to be flying to the East Coast to celebrate my grandson's 1 year birthday. He turns a year on the 25th. He's a Libra, my beautiful grandson. And we're going to go a little early, obviously, to celebrate his birthday party and see them, which will be wonderful. But we're also going to have other family members and friends, and we talk about ancestors. There's going to be some personalities that are not necessarily easy for her and I to work with. And there has been some wounding in the family. And so we're going to be surrounded by some of these individuals who did the wounding and continue to do the wounding. And I was talking to her for briefly this morning, and I just said, how are you feeling about going? And she said, well, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I said, I'm going to take that and run with it because my attitude is I'm just going to show up fully present and authentic, and I'm going to be who I am. And I will make sure that I'm there also to be of service to my son and daughter-in-law so that they can relax and enjoy themselves and truly make the party about them and Sammy. But I think that's just another reminder where I was going with that is how there's certain patterns and cycles and things like that we can heal and we can close by being fully present, by not projecting into the future. It's very easy for us to do that and go, oh, well, if this happens, I was talking about preparation. If this happens, then that I'll do that or that. It's like, no, I have no idea what's gonna, who's gonna show up and how it's gonna show up this weekend and whatever. But what I will do is I will be fully present and I will respond in my most authentic way. And no better way to practice than to be thrown in the middle of family, right? The other thing about this full moon is there is that surrendering to truth. Pisces is the 12th last sign of the zodiac, and it's a place where we come from and a place where we're going. It's a place where everything ends and where everything begins. So it Pisces really teaches us to surrender and to be in that place of flow, right? It's a culmination of everything that comes together. And so there's this truth. The true nature of reality. We talk about that a lot at Mystery School. What is the true nature of reality? Or the true nature of someone, the true essence of life, if you will. And so we get to step into that energy in the next 24 hours. What is our true nature and how do we honor that? And maybe there is something truth here, a truth that I need to let go. I've been holding on to something way too long. The other thing I would say is that because we're letting things go and we're surrendering and we're seeing truth for what it is, remember we're creating spaciousness. Spaciousness for something else to drop into and something else to get revealed or to set us on a new path. And very often eclipses, as we say, because of this fadedness, whatever, there's also a finality to them, where we're not going to go back and pick up that old thing and add it back into our lives. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean would be an example. It could be, let's say you have a health routine and you're like, you know what? I'm actually going to stop lifting heavy, let's just say, because I love lifting heavy. Let's just say I decide I'm going to stop doing that And maybe I don't lift heavy again because I'm 50. Not that that matters. I can still lift heavy. But I'm just saying, let's say I decide that's not where I want to be in my health routines, and I'll go do yoga instead. Or if I go to the gym, I'll do more body weight and cardio than lift heavy weights, right? Maybe I'll do the circuit. I may never lift heavy again because that, but I don't, I'm not negating the pattern or the routine that does serve me. So, anyways, that's just an example. But there's some things that are final that often show up with an eclipse as well. And it could just be that you make a vow. I love on eclipses, especially to write new contracts, meaning I believe we all have contracts that we walk through, soul contracts and things like that, energetic contracts that we make, vows we make to ourselves, vows we make to others. That full moon eclipses are great for burning up old contracts that no longer serve and writing new ones. And maybe evaluating the different contracts that you have in your life, you know, with certain people. It's like, what is our contract about? Why are we in this relationship together? You know, because once it's complete, it's complete. And then you can move on. Another thing, I'll just mention this as I did earlier, that this full moon is a water sign. So get by the water. And also use the water to receive messages. It's called scrying when you're looking at it from a divination perspective. But with this full moon, we'll be able to see through the veil. And going by the water can also, as you're releasing the things you no longer want to hang on to, and you steer into whatever it might be, the bowl, the body of water, whatnot, that you may receive messages and signs from spirit that are anchored in, say, yes, this is your calling. This is what you're here to do. That reminds me of something else that John emphasized a lot the last few days that we were there, and that was, what is your purpose? What is your calling? And I get that question quite a bit from people as well. Like, what am I really wanting to do when I grow up, they say, or what am I really here to do? And I would offer that when your body is lit up, when you wake up in the morning and all you can think about is this particular action or this particular expression of your soul that just lights you up, and you ask yourself, why? Why does this light me up? And you get to the heart, that truth. Remember, we talked about the truth. You cut through the veil. I really love doing this, not just because of, I don't know, the money, the connections, whatever. I love doing it because, and you answer that because. And that's your calling. That's your purpose. For me, it's to be of service. I love being of service to people. And I say of, not in. I'm not a slave to anybody. I'm not enslaved to anybody. I am of service. I love being of service to something greater than myself and being able to support and witness people as they transform, as they grow and evolve. That excites me. So, and I feel as though my life's work is exactly what I'm doing and being of service to you guys. I should check the chat room. I'm so sorry, you guys. It's one of the things, if you ever have an opportunity to be on a show or to host a show or whatever, is that as a radio host, I very often want to make sure that I have relevant, number one, useful content for you guys, and also trying to make sure I have enough content that actually fills the space for you. There's nothing worse than dead air. I'm just being real, you know? And also what I don't want to do is just talk for the sake of talking. So I have a staff member who a couple of years ago we were standing in our staff circle and she kept giving advice. There was a question on the table, there were some tasks that needed to be done, and she just kept going on and on and on and on and on. And it wasn't her role, and it wasn't her place to say anything. And she caught herself and she goes, why am I talking? And we just started laughing. We laughed at the levity of it because she caught herself and she's like, why am I talking? And I think it's a really great question that I often ask myself. I'm like, why am I talking? Am I doing this just to hear myself speak, or is this actually adding value to the person on the receiving end, you know? Granted, I do talk to myself a lot, so there's that. I was doing that yesterday, because sometimes I just need to hear myself, my thoughts out loud, and sometimes just how ridiculous they might sound. So keep that in mind too, because oftentimes what we say has no meaning. And you've heard me say this, our words create worlds. And we often say this too at Mystery School, that our words are our children. How do I want to nurture them? How do I want to take care of them? You know? So just some little reminders as we move about. As we move about the cabin, all the pilot has turned off the fasten seatbelt sign. Now we can mill about the cabin of life, right? And we can soar high at this full moon. I think the other thing too that I just want to mention to put a pin on the map for the week ahead, and that is, yes, we have the fall equinox, which is on Sunday, and we feel the energy turning towards something a little bit more celebratory. And I say that because I think of being in a space, a country, a restaurant, a location that is so full of the abundance, the harvest, right? It's fall, at least here in the northern atmosphere or hemisphere. And that we have all of these things that give us moments or pause to truly be appreciative of how far we've come. Oftentimes we use the end of the calendar year to reflect on how far we've come because it's the end of the calendar year. But I love the fall as an opportunity to do that. And the equinox is a great energy to support looking back and going, huh, look at how generous life has been for me. Even if I'm in a tough spot, there have been marked moments where someone has gone out of their way to help me, or where I did have a moment of laughter, of joy. There was one day out of all of these days, let's say, that I remember where everything just seemed to be okay, or it seemed to be just right. Whatever it might be. You know, I work with that word abundance quite a bit because, as we know, abundance isn't always a good thing. It can become over indulgent, you know, it could be too much. So we want abundance in our life, but how much of that we want to, you know, look at as well. And so the equinox is where, you know, things are equal, light and day. We have moments of balance, of peace, of equal reciprocity, that sort of thing. So Sunday, maybe you do it Saturday as it leads into Sunday. Keep that in mind. Have a marked moment of great gratitude and appreciation for how far you've come. Because guess what? You're still here. And you have meaning because you have breath. You have value because you have life. And honor that life. And I think that's another thing that I continue to take with me every single day. Is I light my incense and my candle every day, and I invoke my ancestors and I thank them for the life that I have, for however long I have. I had this debate with my beloved yesterday. It was a nice heated debate, not anything offensive. And we were talking about voting, because as we know, it's election year here in the US. And he said, "Who are you voting for?" And I said, "I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm on. I honestly, and I know I'm revealing probably a lot, I don't like either candidate. That's just me." And he was like, "Well, you have to vote." And I said, "No, I don't have to. I will vote, you guys. And I will vote for the one who lines up with my values and that sort of thing. And what I feel is best for me." But he's like, "Well, then you're insignificant." And I said, "Yes, I am. I am insignificant." And I don't mean that from a woe is me or a voting standpoint either. I mean that in the sense that I'm not any more important than another, but I do have value. And I use my value. And I use that through my expression in being of service. And so I invite you guys that as I conclude the show, to remind yourself, yeah, you have value. You are not special, but are you useful? And I think that's the thing. I learn skills and do things that I do to be of service, to be useful, not to stand out and be special. So I hope, and if you want to stand out and you be in the spotlight, that's great. I'm not disparaging that at all. Not at all. But is it useful? Are you being of service? Are you benefiting? Are you contributing to the greater good, the community? All right, you guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this show today. I hope that you gain something that you can use. And come find me at jamiedon.com as well as One to Listen. Check out my YouTube channel. And Give great thanks to Jay for producing, and mostly to yourselves for showing up the way you show up in the world. Even if you just touch one person's life, that's enough. All right, you guys, have a great week ahead.